in the trenches with ND Kalu.
Welcome in and happy Thursday to everybody out there in Radio Land. If you are petty, if you like a little bickering from grown-ass men going back and forth, then you will be happy with this Thursday. If you're an Astros fan...
I thought that was every day on this show.
No, not every day do you have an accomplished coach, arguably one of the best college coaches, a horrible, horrible professional coach, but one of the best college coaches to ever do it. You very rarely get a chance to see him pull up his skirt and show his panties because he's starting to panic. And for those who've been under a rock, for those who did not listen to the Sean Salisbury show, as you should do every single morning on your way into work when you get up, you might not have heard, but Nick Saban has some audio, has said some pretty damning things regarding the Texas A&M Aggies. I know we have a lot of Aggies who listen to the show and how they were able to get the number one recruiting class in the country. He also took shots at his old commercial mate, Deion Sanders. And you know, Deion Sanders wasn't going to go quietly. And you could even say Jimbo Fisher isn't going quietly because he has scheduled a press conference that should be taking place as we speak.
I'm looking at the microphone. Mm-hmm. The room is set up. He's ready to go. So we'll bring you some of that audio when we have it.
All right. Well, let's let the people hear the audio that spurred this, the audio that has everyone talking about Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher. This is what Nick Saban had to say about NIL and Texas A&M recruiting this year.
We were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and like. All right, we didn't buy one player. All right, but I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it.
So first thing, easy with the whole buying players. We'll talk about that part later. But not that he cares about how I feel about him, not that Nick Saban probably cares about how anybody feels about him. I lost a little respect for Nick Saban. These are the rules that have been put in place, and before you've even stepped on the field, you're complaining about how Texas A&M was able, within the rules, they didn't cheat, they didn't lie,
well,
they didn't steal, within the rules, they were able to land the number one recruiting class. If A&M's boosters, if the alumni for A&M said, hey, Jim, let's get together. I shouldn't say Jim because I'm not talking about Jimbo Fisher. Hey, Bob, let's get together, pull our money, and present these top players with NIL deals. Whether we like it, even for me, as a guy that played college football that loves to see these guys get paid off their name, image, and likeness, it feels weird. I'm not going to lie. It feels weird when a guy balls out at a smaller school for 1 year and then he says, hey, thanks for giving me an opportunity that no other school would give me. Now I'm going to go take my talents to a bigger school. That seems weird, but they didn't cheat. So for Nick to call out Texas A&M and say that they bought every player and Alabama did not buy any of their players, I lost a little respect for him because it just feels like he's already setting up an excuse. Setting up the foundation for an excuse.
I understand how that is interpreted on your end. Mm-hmm. Let's back it up a little bit. This event that Nick Saban is speaking at is in Birmingham, Alabama, mm-hmm. to about 60 local business owners in the Alabama area that are all diehard Tide fans. The fact this audio went public is besides the point. What Nick Saban is doing is telling his faithful, look, guys, we've been crushing recruiting the last few years. I haven't even had to buy players because we just recruit that damn well. We get everybody to get to the playoff every year. We're winning championships. We're getting you to the draft. We're having the most players drafted. Like, we don't have to do that because this is a machine running itself. I think what he said last night was, and by the way, the rule is, and Saban, if you listen to the whole 6 minutes, it's pretty good. He does point out there was a rule. When NIL was enacted, the rule was stated, you cannot use NIL to recruit. You cannot use it to benefit recruiting. That is a rule that's in there. And then Saban.
That's a stupid rule then, because it's too subjective, is too ambiguous. Like, who, That's just a dumbass rule. Like, that's, let's be real. All these, I'm smarter than everybody, rainmakers, we're going to make these rules. To make that rule, oh, you can't use it to recruit? No, you got to be a little more specific. You can't do it before this date. You can't do it. You can't offer an NIL deal to somebody coming out of high school. You have to wait till they've stepped on campus and played 40 quarters before you give them an NIL. Like, if all these powerful people who are making these great rules aren't smart enough to make a specific detailed rule, then that's on them.
Yeah, I'm just, again, you said they didn't break any rules. Saban's pointing out they broke a rule. The rule states you cannot pay.
What rule did they break?
The NIL, the allowance
not
to
the
pay
essence,
a player
but
for.
But what rule did they break?
The rule states in the NCAA rules, you can, NIL cannot be used or manipulated to bring kids on campus via recruiting. So, like,
okay,
high school
kids.
So, why
has the Texas A&M been punished yet?
Because this is where we argue semantics. The school did not pay them.
Yeah.
The collective of boosters paid them.
Who else is going to do an NIL deal?
The school. I mean, for years we thought.
No, a school can't do it.
But go back, like, blue chips, right? Like, that was literally, like,
that's a
school cutting. But like, that's what it was back in, like, the 80s. It was like, yeah, you'd have boosters, but, like, sometimes a school would just cut a check. The coach would cut a check from his bank account. Here you go. Come
right, and that did not happen. So what rule did Texas A&M break? They didn't break
again,
any
rules.
Again,
this is where we're arguing semantics.
It's not semantics.
A group
it's
of,
black and white.
A
did
group
the,
of boosters.
Did the school pay them or did boosters pay them? And
okay.
For all that we know, I know a lot of people, and they get mad at me when I say, hey, you can't claim UT. You can't claim A&M. You didn't go there. I know a lot of people that claim A&M, a lot of successful business owners that are Aggie fans, didn't set foot on campus at College Station. What if they gave the money?
Ooh, Jim, we're going to have this audio for you a little bit.
What if they gave the
money?
I'm
seeing Jimbo say it right now. For you to come at us, we never did a damn thing wrong. Like, he is.
He's right.
He's going. Okay, but do you honestly believe the collective of boosters who have millions of dollars did not talk to Jimbo Fisher about bringing those 17-year-olds on campus?
I have no idea.
Oh, and come on.
No, not come on. And that's not a stupid take. It's obvious what they want. They want to have the best program out there. So to keep their coach safe and to keep, I don't know what the legal term is, where you don't want to tell somebody what you're doing so they don't have to get questioned or whatever. There's a legal term for that.
But plausible deniability.
Thank you. I have no problem with the idea that the alum said, hey, let's not bring Jimbo in this. But we're going to help benefit Jimbo.
I think it's backwards. I think this is Jimbo going, we want this five-star. He calls the collective
and
goes, hey, take care of this. Make sure you get this kid for me.
They know who they want. They know who he wants.
I think it's, I know what you're saying. And yeah, black and white and, you know.
No, I'm not even,
I didn't know.
I'm not even reaching. I'm not an Aggie. I don't even like, you know, I don't care for Texas A&M. But
and it's not just Texas A&M. It's all the other schools.
It's funny when we say, you know, it's okay to find a loophole here, but it's not. When Elon Musk, who made billions of dollars, doesn't pay the same amount of taxes I paid last year. And we're like, hey, that's just the rich understanding the system. And I'm like, okay, cool for you, Elon. It sucks that I had to pay $300,000 in taxes and you made billions of dollars. You didn't pay that much. But we're just like, that's the loophole. Well, if the Texas A&M Aggie alum want to come together, hey, don't tell Jim. Obviously, he's going to be happy. Let's offer these guys
NIL deals.
See,
that's
where
I think you're wrong. There's no don't tell Jimbo. They absolutely know what's going on.
So what are they telling Jim? What are they telling him?
What are they telling Jimbo?
Yeah.
It's the other way around. Jimbo's going to the collective going, hey, I got this five-star in Louisiana. I just heard LSU offered this. Let's up the offer.
You don't know Aggies like I know. Aggies, they know their football. They know who the five-stars are, and they will go after those players without telling Jim. Now, Jim's going to be like, appreciate it, guys. But I don't think they have to have a meeting to say, hey, Jimbo, we're thinking about offering this five-star cornerback out of Garland, Texas.
Well, you got to hope the kid's even interested in the school.
Hell yeah, do it.
You got to hope the kid's even on the radar. Like, recruiting starts, you know this. I mean, recruiting starts when these kids are in eighth.
Let me know how it works.
These kids are in eighth and ninth grade. Jimbo's already laid the foundation. They already have their big board of who they like and all this. It's not just going to be some five-star randomly off the radar. It goes, I'm going A&M because the collective reached out.
Okay, newsflash. A five-star is not off the radar in that world.
Right. So you're acting like the collective and the boosters are going to be like, oh, let's go get this kid. Jimbo already knows the kid. He's already on my big board. We've already been in his living room. We've already been all his practices, his games.
Okay, then you know what that is? That's public knowledge.
Yeah.
I'm saying the alum, they don't have to communicate with Jimbo to know who he wants.
But what I'm saying is the conversations are, and Nick Saban even says this in the cut. We can get to it a little bit later. Nick Saban says, the problem I'm running into with recruiting is when I'm going to sit in these living rooms, the kid and the parents are saying, here's what we've already been offered from other school. Can you match that or do better?
Okay.
And he's like, this is new to me because I've, in recruiting, I've always walked in and showed them the championship rings and gone, come to Alabama. And they go, okay, coach.
It's now new to everybody.
Now it's bidding wars. But again, like, this isn't what name, image, and likeness was supposed to be. That's why the rule was in there. You can't use it for recruiting. You can use it for, NIL could be for everything else. It just can't be used for.
Says who?
The rule that was created.
This isn't the essence. Look, you don't want the schools,
then argue that.
You don't want the school. You don't want the schools to pay. I'm all for that. I've never liked the idea of schools paying players, but I've hated the idea that players cannot go make money off their name, image, and likeness, especially in this great country. Like, how is there an entity telling an individual, hey, you can't get paid off your name, image, and likeness? Now, when they said you can get paid off your name, image, and likeness, if Billy Bob, who has millions of dollars to spare, wants to go pay a 17-year-old for name, image, and likeness in hopes that he goes to a school.
But he's not paying for name, image, and likeness. What is he paying for? His star rating. He's paying, hopefully, that he can go be a big-time recruit.
He's paying to get him on campus, absolutely. And once
that
guy becomes
a star. You don't see a difference between that and Bryce Young, the Heisman Trophy winner, who is a household name, gets an NIL deal for $1 million. You don't see the difference between the kid who has no name yet versus the kid who is a name?
I don't believe the whole no name. When you're a five-star, 1, 2, 3, 4, five-star recruit, right, you're one of the best athletes in the country. So that's not a no name. That's not a no name.
But in the realm of college football, you are not a name yet. You have not established it.
You're the one who's always talking about five-star recruits and why these schools are so good because they can land 4 or 5-star recruits.
Right.
In that world, now, I'm not saying that they all live up to becoming a five-star, but if you're a five-star, people know who you are. I know who that defensive end out of Cy Ranch is because he's a five-star.
But again,
I've never watched him play.
The intent with the name, image, and likeness was the kid who's at school being successful, be able to put money in his pocket because of that. Not the kid who hasn't been successful yet at the college level, because that's what name, image, and likeness is for. It's for college. It's not for high school. That's what the rule is intended for.
Again, here's the intent. That's your intent. This is how I interpret it.
The NCAA doesn't make rules for eighth graders. The NCAA makes rules for college level
sports. The fact that the UNLV Running Rebels, the fact that with Stacey Augman and Larry Johnson, Grandmama Johnson for everybody 38 and over, the fact that the Fab Five, Chris Webber and company, couldn't get paid off their name, image, and likeness was such a horrible rule in place that the intent now is to say, you know what, who the hell are we as the NCAA to tell an individual player he cannot get paid off name, image, and likeness? Now, does it feel, I'm not even going to go there. Is it obvious that the rich alum are going to pay name, image, and likeness in hopes of getting the kids to the school on campus? Absolutely. But there's no problem with that in my book.
See, Texas A&M did it wrong. How am I contradicting myself? When you're saying pay the recruit for name, image, and likeness, mm-hmm, that's not what name, image, and likeness is. Name, image, and likeness.
When that 17-year-old steps on campus, and if I own a car dealership, and I say, hey, you know, I paid you this for your name, image, and likeness, I need you to drop a tweet saying, when I choose a car, I'm going to Indy's car dealership.
Right.
That is name, image, and likeness.
For the kid who's on campus, who's established himself, sure.
No, who are you to say that they have to wait? Like, who is Chris Gordy to say that this...
I'm saying
hold
the
on,
NCAA
hold on,
said
that this kid... No, they didn't. They said name, image, and likeness. But who is Chris Gordy to say, hey, 17-year-old, I don't think what you did since you were 8, busting your ass to become a 5-star recruit, means that you deserve to get paid off your name, image, and likeness. It's like, how dare you?
I understand what you're saying, but again, the NCAA instituted name, image, and likeness is for college athletes to profit off of their name, image, and likeness. It wasn't for high school seniors to profit before you even enroll and to use it as an enticement to come to that school.
Says who, though?
The NCAA. I know you don't like them. I don't like them.
Okay, then why didn't they say that? That's not what the rule was.
Then why didn't that? It is in the rule. Read it up. It's bylaw, whatever, 12.74.
So you're telling me right now Texas A&M broke the rules?
No, because the semantics are Jimbo is sitting up at that podium going, I've never paid a recruit a dime. And he's right, because the collective
who's contradicting themselves now? You're saying that I'm saying that it's against the rules, and I'm defending A&M saying they didn't break the rules. We might not like them, but they played by the rule book. So where did A&M break the rules? Whether you like it or not, where did they break the rules?
They're using the reach around with the collective is paying the recruits. And again, the coach can go, I'm not going to do with that. Ooh. We know. Come on. Don't be silly. We know what it is.
My wife did a reach around last night and it ended very nicely. So I'm okay with reach arounds. All right. Quick timeout. If you feel like Texas A&M's breaking the rules, give us a holler. If you feel like Nick Saban's right in complaining. And look, I know it's different. It's different than anything that we've seen. And then on top of that, you're able to transfer without having to sit out a year. For all that to happen at the same place, around the same time. Yeah, it's changing college football, and we're seeing things we've never seen before. If you don't like it, that's fine. But don't say that somebody's breaking the rules or they're cheating when they're doing it within the rules. If you don't like the rules, change them. 713-212-5790 in the trenches, only on Sports Talk 790. Welcome in, welcome back in the trenches, only on Sports Talk 790. Starting the show off with the, I don't know if you call it controversy, but the news with Nick Saban saying that Texas A&M bought every player. Then he even called out Deion Sanders. We will hear that part of the audio later on. But right now, I want to hear from you, the sports listener, before we listen to Jimbo Fisher's rebuttal. We do have that, but you know we're the most interactive show in the world. So let's go out to Bel Air and talk to Ron. What's going on, Ron?
Hey, how are you doing, Indy?
How are you?
Great. So I went to A&M, and I just kind of want to set the record straight. What Jimbo does is Jimbo says, hey, look, this is what similar athletes in our program have been able to do with NIL. So, you know, those opportunities may or may not be open to you. The collective, obviously, is the ones that distribute the NIL dollars. The university does not. Jimbo does not. So he does not pay players. The collective does not pay players to go to A&M. They just have an NIL program, and he lets them know what similar players may or may not be able to have if they come to the university. So it's a bunch of BS what Nick Saban is saying. If you want to talk about A&M's class, why don't we figure out how UT, who had a losing record, lost to Kansas at home, and landed the number 5 class in the country, how'd that happen? So I think there's a lot of people out there in glass houses, LSU included. Will Wade, does that ring a bell with anybody? So I think a lot of people need to quit casting stones because their house is definitely not in order.
All right. Appreciate that call, Ron, from Texas A&M Aggie himself. Here's the thing. People feel like the rich will get richer. I get that. This probably will even the playing field even a little bit more. When you talk about University of Texas, obviously that's a huge program, a great brand in college sports, not just football. And it looks like, I don't know if he signed, I can't believe I said this, he signed on the dotted line yet, but I'm talking about his scholarship. For those that don't know, Jordan Addison, wide receiver at Pitt, Biletnikoff winner, probably arguably the best receiver returning to college football this year. It looks like he's transferring from Pitt to the University of Texas. University of Texas already has Quinn Ewers, who transferred from Ohio State. So it looks like UT is also getting the benefit of having their alum entice some of these players with NIL. But what I think is going to do, because over the last, what, call it 15, 20 years, Alabama, because Nick Saban has done a great job recruiting, he's done a great job coaching. I can't take that away from him, even though I'm losing a little bit of respect for him. Now it's going to even the playing field where a guy like Jordan Addison is saying, I think I'm going to go to UT or I'm going to go to a different school instead of just going to the Alabamas of the world.
So, but was he suggesting, the caller, was he suggesting that Texas A&M just recruited these players based on their merit, based on the A&M as a university? Like, is that what he's suggesting? Because that's kind of outlandish in my opinion.
That, what was outlandish about that?
Well, it sounded like he was saying that the boosters or the collective there was no paying of recruits to go to A&M. Like, is that, yeah, it sounded like that's what he was saying. Is that what you heard?
No, I don't know. I heard it as he knew who, the recruits, the boosters knew who Jimbo Fisher wanted, like the type of athlete they wanted, and that's who they went after. Like, look, even though Chris and I disagree on this, we can't disagree that guys are getting paid. Like, they're getting paid.
Yeah.
A lot. And whether it's right or wrong, They have the right to make the wrong decision. If you're a kid and you're debating between one school because it seems to be the best fit, they have the academic program you're looking for, and then another school that doesn't have the fit, but they're going to offer you $100,000 extra dollars. Like, to me, that's the wrong move, but they should have the freedom to make that choice and make that move.
Here's the problem. For so long, you know, this was a dirty backdoor business. It was, oh, we're going to pay this kid and whatever. Now that you made it legal and it's out in the open, everybody's able to, I mean, it's way easier for boosters to throw money around. Oh, all I got to do is buy into the collective. I mean, A&M was literally offering it as part of TexAgs. Hey, part of your TexAg subscription. We're going to take dollars from that. We're going to send it over to the recruiting collective, and that's going to help us, not the recruiting, but the collective to help us bring recruits in and all that. So, like, it's just, there's way more money being thrown around. So you say, like, this always happened. It has, but not to this scale. To this scale where you can literally write a check to every single recruit in recruiting class.
Yeah, because it's out in the open now.
But again, this isn't what I don't want to play the whole Nick Saban segment, but if you listen to the full 6 minutes of what Saban says, he does make some sense. Like, again, what NIL was intended to be, what the rule initially was and all that. And he's saying what happened was, and he compared it to the transfer portal. A couple years ago, remember, it used to be wherever if you want to transfer somewhere, you had to sit out a year. That was the punishment for stupid. You pick the school. That's the school you committed to. You want to transfer? That's fine. You just have to sit out a year and then you're eligible.
But if a coach wants to leave in the middle of a contract, he can do that. I just want to make sure we throw that in there.
But leaving for better opportunities, right?
Isn't that why you transfer, for a better opportunity?
Right.
Who leaves their school like, oh man, things are great here, I'm going to go to a worse opportunity, so I need to transfer?
Again, that's why I always say pick a school, don't pick a coach when you're recruiting. But anyway, you know, people grow up, you love, that's a whole other topic for another day. But like, if you grew up in Texas and your family's a Longhorn fan, you've always been a Longhorn fan, and suddenly you pick A&M, like, come on, like, pick the school because you love the school, not because this coach is
so many
there.
Things can change at the school,
right? So pick the school, and no matter who the coach is, you're gonna love it
then. I'm just saying it's weird, because, and I know this isn't the point, but I can't just let this point slide where we talk about, oh, back when the kids couldn't transfer without sitting out a year, and the coaches could, in the middle of a contract, could be like, oh, I got a better deal, I'm gone, and no one bats an eye.
It's just how the system's set up. I mean, again,
well, guess what? The NIL that we see it now, that's how the system is set up.
Right, but with a stipulation that NIL cannot be used for recruiting, and it's being used for recruiting.
It's how it's set up.
Well, the point is, regulation is going to come. Where we are right now, this is not where it's going to be a year from now.
Okay, be careful.
Things are going to change.
They need to be careful.
Well, listen to what Saban says, he says, what happened with the transfer portal was kids started threatening lawsuits. They started threatening suing. What did the NCAA do? They backed off. We don't want litigation. Hey, free for all. Everybody can go anywhere, anytime. And now that's opened the door to the transfer portal. What's happening here with the NIL is the NCAA, because weren't exactly clear on, they didn't say boosters and collectives couldn't play the schools. They just, or the players, they just said schools couldn't pay the recruits. Now they're kind of being wishy-washy, going, oh, we don't want lawsuits.
Yeah, and that's how they, look, here's the thing. Just because I personally don't like some of these transfer portal reasons, some of the reasons why some of these guys are leaving, but just because I don't like it doesn't mean they shouldn't have the freedom to do it. For instance, and I'm not going to say the kid's name, there's a wide receiver at Houston Baptist University. When there wasn't anybody willing to give him a scholarship, Houston Baptist University gave him a scholarship. He balled out. And now a bunch of Division I schools want him, and he's transferring. And it like, for me personally, I'm like, you know what? They gave you an opportunity. Shouldn't you stick around? But who am I to tell this young man, no, you have to stick. You have to stick it out when the rules allow you to leave. Well, do I like that rule? No, but you know what I like more? Freedom.
There's always been the freedom. Keep in mind, there's always been the graduate rule too. If you were getting your degree, you could grad transfer. You go wherever you want. So that's always been a thing too. It's not like, oh, I'm stuck with this school for my whole career. Well, that's been a stipulation.
But it takes 3 years.
And I'm with you. Again, this is a topic for another day. But the point being, what Saban was trying to say is the NCAA is just being wishy-washy here, and that's why they wanted Greg Sankey to go to the federal government to say, it puts something in here, some kind of law to dictate this stuff, or else it's just going to be a free-for-all. And
so you're painting this picture that Saban's coming from this honorable place, like, oh, guys, this is how college football should be.
For the record, I don't like Saban.
For the sanctity of college football. He is upset because they have leveled the playing field. Like, look, I got, and I cannot say that I can, well, it hasn't started yet. Like, we'll see. He's complaining about this recruiting class. Like, I have
he's still going to make the playoff every year.
I have multiple texts from people in the know from a player who's already gone public in Travis Johnson saying, hey, Alabama offered me six figures.
Right. Like, and that's what I said. This stuff has been going on for years.
Let's not paint this picture that Nick Saban's some innocent angel who just wants to see college football and amateurism.
But to your point, Travis Johnson, Nick Saban was not at Alabama when Travis Johnson was getting recruited. That's a different coach, different time. And again, we said,
well, let's find out who this is at always, Michigan State was offered the bag. I know some Michigan State guys as well. Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that's always happened, but it's been about a dozen guys. It hasn't been a full 25 player recruiting class packed with 4 and 5 stars. Like, this is a new age of paying recruits because it can be transparent. It can be, yeah, of course we have our collective of boosters and all that. And that's where I think the NCAA has to say, look, this has to be the intent of this was to pay players or have players be able to get sponsorships, sell t-shirts, do all this stuff. So, you know, endorsement deals on social media for your name, image, and likeness, not for recruiting. And that's where they're going to have to figure this thing out.
I just have a feeling subconsciously guys like yourself are upset seeing these young men getting the amount of money.
Why? Why do you think that?
Because you always bring up, you can sell a t-shirt.
Sell a million freaking t-shirts. I don't care. Like, I'm not limiting them to that. I'm saying it has to be limited from the idea. And again, if we're calling it name, image, and likeness, it's got to be name, image, and likeness. If we want to do it where we pay recruits, then it's got to be called something else. Then just say it's a free-for-all. Anybody can buy a recruit.
It's name, image, and likeness for these recruits coming in. And guess who else is getting the name, image, and likeness payday? The players that are there. Bijan Robinson just signed a deal with Austin Lamborghini.
Yes, I have no problem with that. Great.
Yeah, so why are you okay with him getting it, but a kid who's a five-star who busted his ass from junior high school to become a five-star, why do you have a problem with him getting it?
What's the N stand for?
Name.
Okay, he's a name at Texas.
Yeah, and a five-star will be a name at whatever school he goes to.
You hope?
Yeah, that's what advertising, and when you invest in people, you hope that happens.
Go listen to 6 Minutes of Saban. He even brings it up. He says, what's going to happen if I've got a booster who bought a five-star recruit, and that kid ain't busting his ass, and I'm not playing him? I'm going to hear problems from the collective going, well, I bought this recruit. You better play him.
Yeah, there are problems in every industry, every scenario. Always going
to
be problems.
And again, what he's trying to say is, let's get ahead of these problems before they arise.
Let's limit how much money these youngsters are
getting.
Watch
how many Aggies are going to be. I paid for this recruit. Why is he not playing?
Yeah, then let him transfer. Let him transfer. Quick timeout. What do you want to go? You want to go to the listeners or you want to go to Jimbo Fisher audio?
It's up to you. I want to hear this Jimbo audio. Right, he just finished speaking.
Coming up next, we're going to hear Jimbo's rebuttal to the accusations brought about by Nick Saban. You definitely don't want to miss that. Kevin, Rick, Joe, Tracy, if you stay patient, your voice will be heard afterwards in the trenches, only on Sports Talk 790.
Yeah, I'm right here, dog. Where my dogs at?
Welcome back. Jimbo Fisher said, where are my dogs at? He is not taking this lying down. Jimbo Fisher just spoke to the media after Nick Saban claimed that Texas A&M bought every player. And
I mean, they did, but okay.
And this is Jimbo Fisher's response to those claims.
Audio level's good. All right. Coach, like to respond to some comments made last night in Alabama?
Yes, I would. First of all, I'll say it's a shame that we have to do this. It's really despicable. It's despicable that somebody can say things about somebody and an organ. More importantly, 17-year-old kids. You're taking shots at 17-year-old kids and their families. That they broke state laws. That they're all money. We bought every player on this group. We never bought anybody. No rules were broken. Nothing was done wrong. It was all in the way we do things, the ethics in which we do things. And these families, it's despicable that a reputable head coach can come out and say this when he doesn't get his way or things don't go his way. The narcissist in him doesn't allow those things to happen. And it's ridiculous. But when he's not on top and the parity in college football he's been talking about, go talk to coaches who coach for him. You'll find out all the parody. Go dig into wherever he's been. You can find out anything. And it's a shame that you got to sit here and defend 17-year-old kids and families and Texas A&M because we do things right. We're always going to do things right. But we're always going to be here. We're doing a heck of a job. These coaches have done a great job. Our players have done a great job. The whole organization of recruiting people. It's despicable that we got to sit at this level of ball and say these things to defend the people of this organization, the kids, 17-year-old kids, and their families. It's amazing. Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him. You can find out anything you want to find out, what he does and how he does it. And it's despicable. It really is. And it's a shame we have to sit up here and have this conversation about things we do. And it personal to us? Yes, it is. It's personal to A&M. It's personal to our players. It's personal to our coaches and everybody involved. And I know the guy. Know him really well. It's amazing that we're allowed to do those things. It's really despicable. And I hate it. For our players who are coming here, who did things the right way, have done things the right way, and will continue to do things the right way, I apologize to you that people insult you publicly the way they're doing it. And our fans, I apologize to you guys for people saying those things about Texas A&M. I promise you this, there are no violations. There are nothing wrong. It's the second time we've had to do this with grown men who don't get their way and want to pout, throw a fit, and act up. Just go ask all the people who work for him. You'll know exactly what he's about. I always said this. My dad always told me this. When people show you who they are, believe them. He's showing you who he is.
Questions? To the left, Olin.
A couple of things, Jimbo. First of all, have you had any contact with Nick since?
No. Oh, he's called.
You just didn't take the call?
Not going to. We're done.
And
he shows you who he is.
And then I just wanted to...
He's the greatest ever, huh?
And then I just wanted
when you to... You got all the advantages?
Huh?
It's easy.
And I just wanted to just put it point blank. So, no players in your... You're saying that no players in
there's the state There's no laws of anything we ever promised, done, anything that goes against the laws of the state of Texas. And it's insulting to say a 17-year-old and his family broke laws. No.
Down front, Brent.
You know, y'all have both spoken so highly of each other in the past in terms of what y'all have done in your previous relationship. So how disappointing was it to hear that from him, you know, in terms of, you know, a mentor type to you?
It's disappointing.
Well?
No, I wasn't. No, listen, you coach with people like Bobby Bowden and learn how to do things. You coach with other people and learn how not to do things. There's a reason people don't go, I ain't went back and worked for him with opportunities.
Coach back behind the lines.
Associated with it.
Coach, is this an area where you would want to see the league office and the SEC, the commissioner's office, get involved if coaches are putting out specific accusations of violence?
That's their job. That's fine. I'm sure they will. They'll reprimand or say something, and we'll move on, I guess. But this is about our players and Texas A&M and the people who work for and the coaches here. That's what this is about. Make a mistake. We're not going anywhere. We have still a lot of work to do. We're not where we want to be. This is going to be a great program, and we're building it into a great program.
Any other questions down front, Travis?
I know everyone saw the initial post from Sliced Bread or whatever, but where do you feel like this is coming from?
You got me. Sliced Bread. Well, but I mean, when coaches say that, come on, man. Especially, never mind. The operation and tactics of certain people who say them, and anybody who coached with him know them, and anybody out there in this business knows it. Amazing. Just go where he's been.
And I know that you don't necessarily, you can't have the conversation with people who do NILs or have that contact, but would you like to see the collective that does support
A&M? I would like to find unified rules across this country to put things in place. That's what I want. And I don't know what those are. I'm not smart enough to figure it out. I don't know what the antitrust laws, all those bylaws. So the government needs to step in because this is these things here. And what's funny, in that talk, right before he said that about us, wasn't he soliciting funds from the crowd? It's amazing, wasn't it?
To the left, Rob.
When you walk on water, I guess, don't matter.
Howdy, Coach. So you've told us how you don't look at social media. How tell us about when you found out about. I'm right here, Coach.
Mark Robinson called me.
Okay, and how important was it for you to have this press conference so that you could defend your players and your
program? I'm not defending anybody. I'm just giving you the truth. Because I have nothing to hide. I have nothing to hide, and our program has nothing to hide. Be interesting if everybody can say that.
Down front, Brent.
Is there some thought on collectives, you know, schools, programs, collectives, universities, collectives? Are you aware of what they do, how they go about it, and
no,
so
I'm not.
Forth?
Okay. I'm
so
not
you have no knowledge of any of
they have collectives. I know there's a collective here. I don't know who's got what, when's got what. I had no idea last year. That is not what we do or what we're about.
I was going to say, that's by design. You saying, hey, I'm staying out of this.
Yeah, I mean, I have no sponsorships in those things. And that's the truth. Listen, I'm going to tell you one thing. You can call me anything you want to call me. You ain't calling me a cheat. I don't cheat and I don't lie. So I learned that when I was a kid. If you did, the old man slapped you side of the head. Maybe somebody should have slapped him. Yeah, that's one thing you don't. Now you're fooling with our name. That don't. From a Texas A&M thing, you're saying with those kids' name and our name. I'll put it with any of them.
Front left, Olin. Coach SEC.
I ain't into that. I wasn't raised that way.
Yeah, Jimbo, SEC spring meetings are coming up, the media days in a couple of months, and then October 8th. What do you think? That's is it going to be awkward?
And awkward about what?
When you have to face it or have to.
I don't mind confrontation. Live with it my whole life. Kind of like it myself.
Anything else? Rob and then Travis?
Backing away from it wasn't the way I was raised.
Coach, what do you say to your players about something like this?
Keep doing the right things and believe in yourself. And I'm sorry that people say those things about you, but I will defend you because I know nothing was wrong. That's what it's about. Talking about setting examples for players and creating value and all those good, you know, talks he has, you know what I mean? Live it. Amazing.
Go Travis and then Brent.
When you talk about uniform legislation.
Setting a hell of an example.
When you talk about uniform legislation, would you like to see that the schools be able to have a little bit more ability to?
I don't know that. I don't know what's right. It just needs to be uniform across the board. And it's hard because the government's going to have to get involved with it. I'm not into that. I just know that what we did was nothing wrong, not done the wrong way. Nothing was promised. Nothing was deal. And we didn't buy any players.
You've been in this business a long time.
A long time.
And seen a lot of things.
It's disgusting what we're into right now. Right. Especially by the people who are throwing the darts. Who have no glass in their house.
So my question was, is this the most upset, disappointed, angry you've been about something in your coaching career?
It's despicable for what it does for the sport. And the operations, the way things were done the other way, when the parity was there, like we said, never has been parity. Certain people never followed the rules anyway.
Do you
respect Nick as a
rules?
No, I didn't say that. It's my statement.
All right, Coach. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you for doing this.
Woo! Jimbo Fisher firing back. What do you have to say about that? We'll talk about that and much more in the trenches, only on Sports Talk 790.
Come on. Deal tipping on fofos, wrapping fofos, tipping on fofos, wrapping fofos, tipping on fofos.
Welcome in, welcome back. After hearing Jimbo Fisher while he was speaking, and you could tell Jimbo Fisher was really bothered. That wasn't just for the microphones. That wasn't just for the cameras. When you hear his voice, the deep breaths, you can just really feel what Jimbo Fisher was feeling. I had to go straight to the schedule. October 8th, Texas A&M at Alabama. That's going to be one worth watching.
Here's the problem. And again, I like what the Aggies are doing. The arrow is pointing upward. I think Jimbo is the right guy for the Aggies. Get paid a ton. But, man, you just poked the – you didn't even poke the bear. You threw a brick. You threw a stone at the bear. Dude, Jimbo, you know – ND, you know who was kicking himself listening to that just now? Haynes King or Max Johnson. Whoever's going to be the starting quarterback for A&M – you are going to get your ass obliterated in Tuscaloosa. Will Anderson and Dallas Turner, if you don't know who those guys are, Will Anderson is literally the best pass rusher in the country. He's probably going to be the number one pick in the draft next year. He had, what, 17 and a half sacks last year? He may have 17 and a half sacks in the game against A&M next year. They got to go to Tuscaloosa, and it's either going to be a 2:30 game or it'll get pushed to a night game in Tuscaloosa.
Let me ask you this. In your opinion, when the Alabama players hear Jimbo Fisher, you think they're getting upset?
They got Saban's back. That they love him. They love Saban. They will do anything for him. Will Anderson's licking his lips right now going, let me at A&M. Let me at Jimbo.
I don't know, but I would think they're thinking to themselves, hold on, Jimbo's over here defending his players for the NIL deals that they're getting. Hey, coach, forget the talk. We want some of these deals like A&M has.
Well, no, Saban said that. What's lost in his quote yesterday, he started that speech with, we had 25 players on this team make $3 million last year in NIL deals. Bryce Young made a ton of money last year. They got their deals, but again, the whole debate is name, image, and likeness. Those were guys who were at Alabama already, and they got NIL deals.
No, I get, but your thought of, you know, the Alabama players are going to be geeked up because of what Jimbo Fisher just said.
Took a shot at our coach. We're going to bat for our coach.
Yeah, but now, especially nowadays, whether right, wrong, or indifferent, this side that Nick Saban sounds like he's on is anti-paying players.
No, no, no.
And Jim, that's what it sounds like.
You're misinterpreting.
I'm not misinterpreting. I'm saying that's what it sounds like.
Hold on.
Go ahead. Because these players, they're not going to be like, oh, our coach is upset and we're just going to go fight for him. They're going to be like, damn, it sounds like, So I'm not misinterpreting anything. It sounds like Jimbo Fisher is for getting the players paid, and it sounds like Nick Saban isn't. So these players aren't just going to blindly run behind a coach who keeps saying that A&M bought their players buy our players.
The argument is Jimbo's making the case to paying the recruits. Alabama's paying their players. Will Anderson has multiple NIL deals. Those guys are all getting money. $3 million was distributed among those 25 guys. They made money.
You're bringing in facts.
They're not interpreting Saban as anti-getting paid. No,
you don't know how they're interpreting. You're bringing in facts. I'm saying you're bringing in facts. Well, so let me keep that before you get defensive. But I'm saying
I'll check Twitter and see what. I guarantee you at least one or two Alabama players have tweeted out defensive.
Okay, please do that, because I'll feel a little better about that. But we live in a world where if you think this way, then you're on this side. If you think this way, then you're on this side. It's unfortunate, and it sounds like Jimbo Fisher is all about paying the players through NIL, and Nick Saban has a problem with paying the players. So I'm not going to sit up here and just say that Nick Saban's players are going to be overly hyped up and supporting their coach in this situation.
Dallas Turner, who's the stud, he was a stud freshman for Alabama last year, literally in his bio, it says University of Alabama Business Inquiries, Dallas Turner, NIL@gmail.com. These kids have already, the Bama guys already have all this set up. They know Saban's fine with them getting paid. Saban's issue is with buying recruits. That's what his problem is.
And you know what? Maybe they'll feel the same way. Since they're already in it, maybe they'll feel the same way. 713-212-5790. Reggie, what's going on, Reggie Reg? You there, Reggie?
Hello?
Oh, we got you now. Yeah. What's up?
Hey, I'm good. Hey, Andy, seeing it, what Chris is saying, man, because I think what he was saying to me is like, we don't have to put all this money into recruits to get them to come to the University of Alabama. It speaks for itself. The pedigree that comes through Alabama, it speaks for itself, and we develop our talent going to the draft and get picked in the first round. Over the course of a year, before this deal even came out, we was ahead of the game. Now that, you know, what he's saying to me, Texas A&M, this is the way you're going to try to get your upper hand. Just same as Texas and other schools are doing the same thing. Now just hang up and listen.
Yeah, and there's no problem with that. But the whole buying players, it feels like Nick Saban, and again, it just feels like he's feeling the pressure. He's panicking a little bit because he's seeing that, oh, now I can't just show up and say, hey, if you come to Alabama, you're going to win a championship and go in the first round. Like, that was a huge recruiting. We used to joke not too long ago, oh, Alabama doesn't need to recruit. Like, they just go play on the field and the top recruits are going to go to Alabama. Now you have some of these top recruits going to other schools, and it feels like he's starting to panic, and he's starting to feel the pressure.
The thing Saban kept reiterating, too, in his speech last night, he kept saying, here at Alabama, we're going to do three things. We're going to develop you as a person, we're going to develop you as a student, we're going to develop you as an athlete. He kept reiterating that, because, again, it's not just, and whether it's right or wrong, he's driving that message home that you're going to get the full experience here. Not only are we going to make you a better person and a better man, we're going to get you to the NFL, we're going to get you, we're going to develop you. We're going to get you. You're worried about getting paid right now as a 17-year-old. Look, have some patience, Grasshopper. I'm going to get you an NIL deal once you get here, and then we're going to get you a $36 million contract in the NFL. We're going to take care of you that way, and I understand not everybody gets that.
Yeah, less but than that's 1%.
That's the message.
Less than 1%.
Well, in Alabama, it might be about 6%.
Then not that get those deals. Maybe they get Bo Scarborough. I saw Bo Scarborough, and I remember thinking, man, this dude's a beast.
He got drafted, though.
Yeah, in the seventh round. He's playing in the USFL right now. Let's head out to Sugar Land and talk to our main man, Tony. What's up, Tony?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Hey, man, look. Nick Saban sounds like a straight-up crybaby right now, bro. Like, even if what you're saying, Gordy, is what Nick Saban is trying to articulate, it doesn't come off like that. It doesn't come off like that at all. Because he wasn't doing all that crying when he was basically able to get any recruit he wants. Now that the rabbit has got the gun, he's got a problem.
But real quick on that, Tony, what he just had the number two class, so it's not like he's hurting. It's not like he's like, oh man, we're really hurting.
Why are you crying?
Well, right, because he's saying there needs to be some policy because this thing is going to get out of hand if it's not.
Only because it's affecting him.
No, it's not affecting. Let me ask you this, Tony, real quick: who did Saban recruit that he didn't get this offseason? Nobody. He got every recruit he wanted.
He basically, okay, let me ask you a question here, Gordy. He specifically said that they're stealing his recruits.
No, he didn't say that. He didn't say they're stealing our recruits. No, he did not. Go back, listen to the audio. He said A&M is buying recruits. He didn't say they're stealing our recruits.
Dude, go back and listen to it, I'm telling you. And even if that, I mean, the indication is the fact that you're calling out in particular school because are they a threat to you?
He's letting his Alabama collective know, guys, this is what's happening with other schools, and if they're not going to regulate it, we got to play by those rules too. Y'all get on board, start cutting your checks.
Right, but in defending, I'm not saying you defended him, but you specifically just said that Nick Saban is selling his recruits. Look, you know, slow down, Grasshopper. You know, you'll get the money. They ain't listening to that. If you've not come from a side of town that other people have come from, you can't tell them how to actually participate and actually live their lives with regards to how they're trying to make a living. Look, Nick Saban, man, he's calling that out because, quite frankly, it's affecting his recruit, bro. It's affecting it. Whether he was top two, if you affect it, why are you crying?
You're misinterpreting as crying. He's not crying. He's saying, he's telling his Alabama donors, hey guys, this is what's going on at other schools. I didn't want it to have to come to this, but now it's come to this.
He didn't say other schools. He said he specifically called out Texas A&M.
We didn't hear the other bit. He goes on to say Jackson State, Miami basketball. He calls out several
others. And he calls out Deion Sanders and claims that a kid was paid $1 million.
The kid was paid $1 million.
The kid responded that he wasn't. So now we're calling this kid a liar.
No. There's a story out.
He said $1 million, laugh
the
emoji.
The Clarion Ledger, Travis Hunter, was paid $1 million NIL deal by J5 Cafe, the black-owned coffee company that announced their agreement on Wednesday.
Okay, and Travis Hunter, straight out of the horse's mouth, I got $1 million, laugh emoji, but my mom still stays in a 3-bedroom house with 5 kids.
Well, he did. He didn't get the money right now. It's a deal that he signed with the company that he's going to get. They didn't deposit $1 million right into his contract. It was probably one of those deals like a lot of these are, like A&M. We'll give you $200,000 a year spread out over 4 years. Something like that.
So you're saying he's lying?
I'm saying the Clarion Ledger has Travis Hunter, nation's number one college football prospect, signs $1 million NIL deal with black-owned coffee company. This is from February.
Okay, and his head coach said, Coach Prime, Deion Sanders, you best believe I will address that lie, L-I-E in all caps, Coach Saban told tomorrow. I was awakened by my son that sent the article saying that we paid Travis Hunter $1 million to play.
That's the lie.
Go JSU Tigers, FB.
Saban said Jackson State paid that. Deion's going, Jackson State never paid that.
Okay, so Nick Saban just lied.
What's that?
He lied.
But again, that's where I say we're arguing semantics. Okay, the NIL, the company paid him $1 million to come to Jackson State.
That's not even semantics. That's a bold faced lie.
You don't think Deion talked to this guy and said, "Hey, let's get my guy paid"? Lie. Okay, we're arguing semantics.
No,
these coaches know what's going on.
For whatever reason, you're trying to defend this man for lying, saying Jackson State paid.
I'm not defending. I'm saying the schools, the collectives, and the rich donors and boosters are writing the checks. And if we're gonna act like the coaches have no idea this is going on, come on, man.
So you're saying Nick Saban knows about his current players that are getting paid?
Sure. Yes. Absolutely.
Then why is he bringing it up?
Because he's asking his people to open their pockets to start playing by the rules everybody else is.
713-212-5790 in the trenches, only on Sports Talk 790.
You're in the trenches.
Stand up, get your hands up.
With ND Kalou.
Welcome in, welcome back. We are going way over, so this will be a short segment, but I do want to hear what you have to say about this NIL deal. And not only that, Jimbo Fisher's response. Let's go out to Magnolia and talk to Tracy. What's going on, Tracy?
Good morning, guys. How are y'all?
Good morning.
First-time caller. Wanted to weigh in on the NIL deal. Indy, I agree with you 100%. I'm a free market guy, and this is a free market, and I think it's a great thing. And I wonder, a point that I don't know if people are missing that are against this or just not talking about it, but we're watching one of the largest transfers of wealth from one class to another that I can ever remember seeing. And the beautiful thing is, It's not the government trying to redistribute wealth. It's individuals in a free market. I mean, I always hesitate to bring up race in any conversation, but I know y'all like to keep it real. Most of these boosters, or a lot of them, some of them, are wealthy white men. And a lot of these 4- and 5-star recruits are middle class, lower class minorities. I mean, that's just the truth. And I love the fact that this money is being transferred from one class to another without anybody having to tell anybody to do it. It's just individuals working in the free market. Let it go. Let it happen.
But let me ask you this, Tracy. Let me ask you this real quick, Tracy. You think once that donor cuts that check to that athlete, that transaction's done? See, I tend to think that booster comes back and goes, "Let me tell you something, son. You're not out there on the field doing what we asked you to do." You know what I mean? Like, there's going to be some kind of repercussions here.
Well, sure. Chris, that's life. I mean, if I don't do my job every day, my boss is going to come tell me.
But that's not your employer.
You're gonna have to go find something else.
He's not your employer. He paid you for an NIL deal. Well, he didn't pay you for employment.
Well, you're under contract with him. In a sense, you're an employee. It's not really a contract.
That's the whole other issue with this.
You're going to provide.
And Saban brings this up in his speech. He says the road we're going down here is, okay, what's employment law? If we're signing these deals, are they employees? Now suddenly you're going to have to start, there's going to start these salaries very soon.
No, they're 1099 independent contracts.
You're going to run into issues where are we paying everybody? We're paying certain people.
No, that's what an independent contractor is.
But the have-nots are going to, their voices are going to get loud. They're going to go, "Where's my dime?"
But just like Tracy said, that's life. Like I have an independent contractor, a contractor who works on my houses. The best one, he gets paid more than the other guys. Like, that's just life. Like, this,
but
to me, this
be
is
like you hired
life.
A contracting company and you paid one of the contractors $1 million, the other get nothing.
No, independent.
Those other workers
that's what's
are
called independent contractors.
I know, but what I'm saying is these are the problems that are going to arise.
Okay, life has a bunch of problems.
What about the other side of it, Chris, where the company contracts a player for an NIL deal, they get what they perceive as a greater value of return than they paid that player, and they pay him more the next year?
Yeah.
That could happen as well.
No, and that's happening with Bryce Young.
Brand new.
That's happening with Bryce Young right now. Bryce Young made somewhere around $1 million last year, and the reports out there already, he's working on multiple big-time NIL deals for this season because he's a Heisman Trophy winner.
Appreciate the call. Don't want to go over, but I do want to go out to Stafford and talk to Larry. What's up, Larry Lair?
Hey, what's going on, Indy? Hey, let me touch on this, man. It sounds like, to me, somebody that listens to this show all the time, that Chris Gordy and Nick Saban need to take their Make America Great ass back to the 1950s.
Come on, Larry.
Because see now,
you know better
now,
than
hold
that.
Hold on, Chris. Here you go. No.
You're making assumptions, and the first three letters are ass. Don't make an ass out of yourself.
Every time somebody tries to make a point, you always jump in. What Nick Saban said was messed up because Nick Saban has been getting over, just like Jimbo said, for years. And he's been getting the top recruits that Alabama's been paying for him. And now that the playing field has been leveled, that everybody has an opportunity to go out there and get the same type of recruits he's getting, he's crying like a little bee. So now, as we sit here and as you try to make this argument, then you, of all people, you must have been scary all your life, Chris, because you sat up here on this radio and said, man, because Jimbo said that, Alabama, Nick Anderson or whoever, Willie Anderson or whatever, is going to go out and just tear the heads off of the quarterback at A&M.
Well, he will. Will Anderson's a monster.
As if we don't know he's a monster, but as if we don't think that A&M got the same kind of dudes out there that are going to try to protect their quarterback and give Will Anderson the business. Mm. Like the green kid that we drafted for the Texans. Chris, you have this thing, man. You have this thing, and it comes across, there's an arrogance about you that I know that it's not really what you're trying to assimilate or get out into the air, but you think that you're right about everything when it comes to this deal. And the fact of the matter is, you don't live those kids' lives whose parents are sending their kids off to school. You don't live the life where somebody has probably four or five brothers or sisters and their mom go to the store with a WIC card and get some green beans and corns off the shelf and some leftover meat to feed their family. So this is an opportunity for these kids to make some money to get their family situation a little bit better. But you took your hands up. Let's regulate this and let's put laws. Y'all are the same people that don't want regulation when it comes to making sure that everybody in this country have an opportunity to live the American dream. But then when everybody else is starting to get paid, let's let all these folks shut it down because this is too busy. Nick Saban is getting $10 million a year to coach at Alabama, and he owns five car dealerships in Alabama. And yet, he can wake up in the morning and decide to walk away from Alabama and never have to work another day in his life. And yet, you're on this airways criticizing folks because they get paid. Chris, it comes across as arrogance, and it also comes across that when anybody else wants to talk, you always try to butt in it. That's why I come and get your ass.
I'm letting you go. All right, thanks, Larry.
All right, quick timeout. Chris can respond. Drew, Joe, Kevin, Frank, we see you there in the trenches, only on Sports Talk 790.
Big sight, new paint. Big
Welcome in, welcome back in the trenches. Tupac said all eyes on me, but Jimbo Fisher said no, all eyes and attention will be on me for a while.
The tennis match back and forth between Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
SiriusXM 3:30 this afternoon on the College Channel. Nick Saban scheduled to talk with Rick Neuheisel. So be interested to see 3:30 Central.
Okay.
I mean, that's going to just keep an eye on Twitter. It'll be out. That'll be out there. It's this volleying back and forth.
Will Nick Saban go as hard as Jimbo Fisher went?
Oh, he might double down.
What about Deion? When's Deion Sanders going to
He said he was coming, but haven't heard from him yet.
And that's a shame. I thought they were.
I guess they're not going to be doing any more Geico commercials.
Exactly. They will not be doing anything.
Or you know what they should do if they do that? Deion should go, I'll do my Geico commercials. But all that money that I would make from Geico is going towards our collective.
Saban,
why don't you do that too?
I wouldn't be surprised if Deion Sanders is doing that anyway.
But can the there's another one? Can the coaches put money into the collective?
No, they can. But you can tell Geico, hey, I don't need this money. But why don't you go use this money
earmarked for NIL too? A couple of our players.
Yeah, Kevin, welcome to the show, Kevin. Kevin, you there? Kevin going once, Kevin going twice. Kevin, if you can hear us, we cannot hear you. So give us a ring back. 713-212-5790. You want to try it again? His name's let's try Drew. Let's see if it's us or if it's them. Drew, can you hear us?
Yes, sir.
All right.
How are you doing today, fellas?
We are good.
Awesome. Well, happy Thursday. And man, that boy Jimbo is heated.
Man, hey, he was covering that Nick Saban. But and honestly, I wanted to call and talk about Christian Harris, but this is too high of a topic.
Christian Harris probably got an NIL deal last year.
Hey, you know, probably so. But my thoughts on it is this. Chris, you said that he pretty much came out and said these things to get, you know, his collective there at Alabama to say, hey, we need to pony up. We need to start doing what these other schools are doing.
Yeah, buy recruiting classes, like, basically, is what he's saying.
Right, right. And I feel like if that was the intent, don't you have some sort of, like, private mode of communication to where you can get that same message across to all those same boosters?
Well, let me reset. Yeah, let's reset real quick, Drew. Nick Saban last night is speaking at a private event with about 60 local business owners in Birmingham. It was him and the basketball coach from Alabama speaking. My buddy Jim Dunaway was the guy doing the Q&A with Saban. This was intended just for a Bama audience. AL.com happened to have a camera in the room, and they put the whole thing on YouTube. I don't know if Saban knew that that was going to happen, but his speech and everything last night was to that room. I don't know if he knew and the intent was for this to go viral.
Do they have these type of private meetings, you know, annually, or is this something?
Oh, everybody does it. What's his face? Sark was here in Houston yesterday talking to the Houston Longhorn Touchdown Club. And some of the quotes that came out from that, I was like, damn, those are like, he basically said, you better get your ass. I don't care what time we play Alabama, you better be there. And I mean, it's these things, these events are meant to fire up your fan base, your boosters, your big money people.
Okay, I get that. It's just being Nick Saban, being Alabama, even if you're having a quote unquote private, like, meeting or this annual thing that you have, you know that quotes and, you know, things are going to come out from this meeting. So, well, I feel like I think it was definitely an intentional shot at these other schools rather than I think that was more of the reason. I don't think, you know, Saban is against paying players. I don't think you are against paying players. I think you do want, you know, a certain type of regulation. Me, on the other hand, I really don't care what the regulation is. It's like, hey, level the playing field with these players and make sure that they are, you know, getting compensated for bringing these schools millions of dollars. Because, I mean, Nick Saban is great and all, and he's, you know, a pivotal figure and definitely someone that's famous. You know, he's almost like you could call him, you know, when you think of college football, you may think of Nick Saban. But at the same time, these kids are going out there putting their bodies on the line, so they definitely deserve to get paid. I think we're all under that same agreement. I feel like the Texas A&M players may have more of a, you know, more of a motive or, you know, more of bulletin board material than Alabama, because Jimbo came on and you knew who he was talking about. He went straight at Nick Saban and he like talked about his past and things like that. I don't know if that will really get too many of the Alabama players riled up. It'd be different if he came out and trashed Alabama as a whole, but he went directly at Nick Saban. Nick Saban went directly at school. So, I don't know. We're going to see. I know Will Anderson's a beast, you know, future Texan, hopefully. But, yeah, we'll
they're
see.
They're not going to be picking number one. Hopefully not.
Right. Hey, we got some two picks. Who knows? Hey, if you're getting 17 sacks a year, hey, let's use these picks to trade up and get somebody that's a stud. But, yeah, love the conversation. Always great topics here on the show.
I always appreciate you, Drew. That was some of the thoughts that I had. First of all, I will say this. There are no private functions in 2022. And it's not like it was some sketchy video from a telephone. You have to know if you're Nick Saban, when you're gathered and there's 50 or more people, what you say is going to get out. So if it was meant to be private, then do what James Harden does at his parties. Tell everybody to put their phones and the video. But there's no such thing as private anymore.
Do you think he was sending the message to the NCAA, get regulation?
Yeah, I think I think he sees the writing on the wall, whether it's this year, next year, or the year after. And again, I'm not even saying he was doing anything wrong. I'm getting a whole bunch of texts from guys that played in the league, from, you know, other coaches that I know, saying he needs to be careful because he's been paying players for years. Like, that's what people are texting, not tweeting, texting me. But I think he sees the writing on the wall. Like, you know what? I used to be able to just show up into a living room and say, hey, if you want to go to the pros and win a national championship, then come to Alabama. That's not doing it anymore. And well, I think he's starting to
hopefully
panic.
Hopefully this causes him to retire.
Yeah, and I think he's starting to panic because
let other schools win.
Yeah, he's starting to panic because now other people. I don't think he's panicking. Doubling. No, that sounds like a man.
He just signed the
panicking.
Number 2 recruiting class, and he just lost to the national championship in the fourth quarter.
It's down the line. The fact that you're calling out Deion Sanders because you got a kid to go to an HBCU, like he's panicking.
He was pointing out examples of schools that were bragging that they paid players, and he's saying that the NCAA rule is you're not supposed to be. You're not supposed to be able to buy recruits. That's not what NIL was.
When did Jackson State brag that they paid Travis Hunter?
There were people bragging that they were. It was on social media back in February. There were people bragging that they got the number one player away from Florida State. There absolutely was.
That they got the number one player away from Florida State. There's no way in the world you can convince me that, and this isn't a shot at Jackson State University, but there's no way in the world that you can convince me that Jackson State was able to raise more NIL money than Florida State to land a 5-star defensive back. Well, there's no way.
I can
way
only go by what the Clarion Ledger wrote in February, and it says that the number one college football prospect in the nation, Travis Hunter, signed an NIL deal with J5 Cafe, the black-owned company, coffee company that announced his agreement on Wednesday. This is back in February.
And he said he didn't get $1 million. Okay. So I'm going to go off.
$900,000.
I'm going to go off the horse's mouth. You're going off news, fake media, and I'm going off the actual player
who said he didn't. If it wasn't.
Who said he did not get $1 million. 713-212-5790. Let's squeeze in Joe. What's going on, Joe?
Hold on, fellas. This is Westside.
Westside. What's up, brother?
Here's the thing on that. I ain't nothing, man. Here's the thing what I'm listening to. This is the same guy that was against the spread offense. Y'all remember when it first came out, who was the first one
Saban.
that raised their hand and say, hey, I'm totally against this because he couldn't adjust to it. It was a panic.
No, but he...
Hold on, let him finish. Okay, go ahead. Respond.
Okay, so, you know, that came out. It came out just like this situation came out. The thing about it is, man, most kids, 17... 18 years old, are only going to the... He only wins in recruitment simply because those guys want to go to the league, or they have an idea that going to Alabama or somewhere is going to... So he's always full of... He's always like Calipari, full of recruitment, are the number ones because they want to go the next few years or they're going to have an opportunity. But now it's an even playing field, just like Jimbo said. He's been playing players. I got buddies that went there. I have my son's buddies that've gone there. Like, he's been doing this, but now it's an even playing field. The guys don't have to travel. They don't have to get stipends from their scholarships and all that because they're out of state. So, listen, man, let it play out, like I said, on the last call when this came out. Let it play out and see where it goes. And I'll hang up and listen. Y'all have a good one.
I appreciate that. We'll respond on the other side. Quick timeout. We'll get back to it in the trenches, only on Sports Talk 790. Welcome in, welcome back in the trenches, only on Sports Talk 790, the Texas A&M Alabama feud, more specifically Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher still going on. And you keep bringing up this Clarion Ledger. So I pulled them up. You know what else they said? From the same Clarion Ledger that you're saying.
Well, the writer. This is Corey Thompson, who I know writes for the
Okay, Clarion well, you keep Ledger. Bringing them up, but they also said, and I'm reading from an article, shortly after Travis Hunter committed to JSU, there were reports Hunter had a multi-million dollar NIL deal with Barstool Sports and a coffee company, and sources close to the program told the Clarion Ledger that was no such deal. There was no such deal in place.
So the coffee company lied?
I'm just saying, every time I bring it up, you're like, well, Clarion Ledger said this. Well, Clarion Ledger is also saying that sources close to the program said that there's no such deal in place.
Okay, so Travis Hunter, props to you, buddy. You picked Jackson State for that. You want to go be the star there, and you believe in everything in their program, and you didn't get anything. That's awesome. Good for you. I hope he balls out and starts and makes money eventually in the NFL. Even he's not making any money at Jackson State. I hope he gets money eventually when he gets that big NFL deal.
Well, if he lives up to
come
the 5-star,
you know what the deal is. He got something. And I'm not saying he's wrong for that. I'm saying it's That's the system that we're playing under. I just like, why are we in denial? Why is it wrong to say
no one's in
Travis
denial.
Hunter got paid to go play at Jackson State? I don't understand why that's wrong.
You're the one in denial. Everyone's saying, yes, these young players were paid for name, image, and likeness. Yes, the alumni came together to bring them to their school. But we're saying there isn't anything wrong with it because those are the rules that are in place. Like, we're not in denial. You're in denial saying, oh, it's not really supposed to go like
that.
That's
what the rule says, Indy. If you're not supposed to use NIL for recruiting.
If the rule says that, then there'll be sanctions handed down to Texas A&M. And guess what's not going to happen? They're not going to get in trouble for what they did this year.
Real quick, this was a tweet I read. The Aggies have won 10 win season in 23 years. Jimbo did not break any rules. However, pretending that NIL didn't build his recruiting class is as disingenuous as he can be. Aggies just magically became the hotspot for recruits after an 8-4 season? Come on.
But what's the point you're saying there?
Jimbo is acting like we didn't pay, like not a dime went to these players.
No, he's not. He's saying the school didn't pay.
And that to me is we're beating around the bush.
So you think Texas A&M, the school, paid?
No, I think the boosters and the collective paid for recruits. But to act like Jimbo had no hand in this is absurd.
I don't think anybody's denying that. Okay, are you saying A&M is doing something that Alabama's not doing?
I'm saying how this is working is the coaches are calling the recruit who they've had a relationship with for years, and the recruit is coming to him saying, what can you get me? Well, hang on. Let me check with the collective and see what we
can. How do you know? Have you talked to a recruit or a parent of a recruit, and they tell you, hey, Chris, my son, who's a 5-star recruit, he just asked Nick Saban, what can you get me?
No. But I'm saying Nick Saban admitted last night he's sitting in living rooms, and the kids are saying, well, so-and-so offered me this. What can you guys offer me?
Fair question. And he can say, I can offer you national championships and a chance to be a first-round pick.
Or he says, let me check with my collective and I'll get back to you. You know what I mean? Come on.
Yeah, I just get the sense that people are uncomfortable seeing these young guys get paid.
I don't think it's that, though. I don't think anybody...
I mean, for you to keep bringing up, I think they shouldn't get it coming out of high school. Like, what does it matter whether they're coming out of high school or they're in their second year?
Again, I don't want to go down the road on what NIL was supposed to be, but NIL was supposed to be when you're a college athlete, you can profit off your name, image, and likeness. It was not intended to be able to buy recruiting classes.
And I think it was intended to allow these athletes to get paid off their name, image, and likeness, regardless of when a company owner decides to pay said individual. Because it's so absurd that you have this college athlete, college football, basketball, baseball, whatever it may be, that's on a full scholarship and they're earning that scholarship, but you're telling them you can't go make any other, you can't have a job, you can't go put your face on a t-shirt and sell it. When Johnny Manziel was at the height of his stardom, he could have made millions of dollars by his name, image, and likeness. And the fact that he could not do that was so egregious. I think the NCAA finally said, man, we got to change this.
Right.
But they didn't say, oh, we're changing it if you're in your third year, if you played and started 8 games. No, if you're an individual and somebody is willing to pay you for your name, image, and likeness, you should have the right to get paid.
But here's the problem, is the kids we're talking about, the recruits, are not getting paid for their name, image, and likeness. You're getting money just because somebody saw the recruiting rankings and saw, they didn't even see your name. They just saw 5-star and they want to pay that kid.
Okay.
But you don't see that's where the discrepancy is.
No, I have no problem with somebody getting paid if somebody wants to pay them legally.
Okay.
I have no problem with that. I have no problem because I've seen
these kids work. Then the rule just needs to be changed then. The rule needs to be changed where it says you're not supposed to pay recruits. It's not intended to pay recruits. It's intended to name, image, and likeness. When you're out of school, you can profit off
your
name, image,
and likeness. No, why does it need to be changed from what we're seeing today? Like, why does it need to be changed? Because you don't like seeing a high school kid get that money?
No.
That's the part I don't get.
It's on the other side. It's that the schools are buying recruiting classes. That's the problem. It's like, the thing is, a name, image, and likeness is, again, is I sign an endorsement deal. I got a deal with the car dealer. I got $1 million, whatever. Like, that's an NIL deal, not a collective just throwing money at 5-stars because we looked at 24/7 and we saw you were all 5-stars, so come play for us.
But they all, as long as they have to do something for that NIL, if it's show up, make an appearance,
and none of them are
50 tweets.
That's the deal. It's none of these collectives. There's no expectation for them. It's, you know what it is.
You're just assuming that.
No, I know what it is. It's Put it this way. The one at Florida, I know firsthand. They've signed a couple of athletes. Now, again, the collective at Florida, they're signing current Florida athletes. They're not signing recruits. They're signing guys who already play at Florida and putting them in this, but they're already telling them, like, they're looking to partner with radio stations to say, hey, I need to get my guy on as a weekly hit so we can say this is what we're paying him for.
But they can easily just say, show up.
But you're acting like those expectations are already met. Like, we're doling it out, and then we're going, all right, let's make the rules now.
No, we're paying for your name. I don't know what, because we're talking about hundreds of different companies. You know, when I was visiting Michigan State, they talked about Walker, the running back, and he had an NIL deal with a car dealership, and he did local commercials. His face was on a billboard, and they gave him a truck.
That's awesome. That's exactly what NIL is.
Yeah, but you have a problem because if someone's coming out of high school and gets the same deal, you feel like they haven't deserved it or they haven't earned it. That's the part I just don't get.
It's, again, back to the intent of what name, image, and likeness is. Name, image, and likeness is for you to profit off your name, image, and likeness. Not because some booster saw you with a 5-star 24/7 and said, I want to brag to my buddies I got the number one recruiting class.
Now, I would have a problem if they sign these players to NIL deals and they don't have to do anything. But I doubt that's the case.
They'll probably have to
tweet something out.
There are some guys who are getting it and they have no expectations on them.
You know, then the NCAA is going to probably come down on them. But I don't believe that. Like, I just don't believe that from what I've seen. They're going to do something. It may be as simple as, hey, we need you to tweet out 5 tweets a day. Or we need you to show up and give a pep talk to our employees. I just don't believe that that these guys are going to sign these deals and they're not doing anything. You know what? Let's head out to College Station and let's talk to Harvey. He wants to jump in on this conversation. What's going on, Harvey? Okay, so we got a problem.
I can go work anywhere where I'm qualified to hold the job. But if I'm going into the entertainment business, i.e. sports, then yes, there have to be other kinds of rules there.
Yeah, we can't hear Harvey. Let's try another line. He keeps going out. Let's go out to, is that the real Ice Cube? Let's go out to Ice Cube. What's going on, Ice Cube?
What's up, Indy? How y'all doing, man?
What's happening?
That's not Ice Cube.
No, it's Ice Cube. It's Gerald McNeil, the original Ice Cube.
I know. See, Chris don't know who the original Ice Cube is.
Yeah.
That's the problem. So, you know, when you drive around town in a little bit and you get these former players and we're listening to discussions like that, it's real disturbing, man. How many times I call your show? And I don't call very often, you know, just always listening to you guys and love to see you guys doing it. Absolutely fantastic job chopping it up. But I happen to be driving around town and I'm listening to this and I'm like, I have never seen anything so absurd. And what I'm listening to, Indy, here's the reason why so many players, and I'm going to specify, the players, okay, have a problem in what we've been dealing with for the last 40, 50 years. Because the players have not been getting a fair shake. All right? Now, Christians keep hollering, it's the name, image, and likeness. I understand. That's just the opening of the door. The players, we can care less what you call it. You can call it whatever you want to call it. The players have a right, a fair share, to get any deal that anybody gives them. In this country, you have a right to get anything that somebody is willing to pay you. Bottom line. I don't want to hear about anything in college or anything. It's in this world, okay, we have a right to get any sum of money that anybody is willing to pay you. I don't care what it's for, all right? Let it play out. Let it go. This is exactly what has been going on. Indy, you know, we all got paid. Everybody got paid under the table, sir. But Alabama was getting paid $10,000, where over there we might have been getting paid $400. Okay? But nobody wants to bring that up. Those are the facts that has been going on for a long time. All right? Let the players get whatever the deals are at. All right? It's just been called name, image, and license now. All right? But they have a right to get any amount of money and go anywhere they want. Because here's the ironicity of it. You guys keep saying, and Saban has been having an advantage to come and say, listen, I can get you to the league, I can get you this, I can get. But the players know this.
because we say it all the time. If you can play, the eye in the sky don't lie. They'll find you if you can play. All right? So I can go Jackson State. I can go to Rice. And if I can play, they'll find me. So pay me for what I can, everything that I can get, and I'll go wherever I want, and let's see it play out. All right? Because I'm like the rest of the callers. For Nick to be saying what he's saying after all the amount of money those players that we know have been paid, it's ludicrous, man. All right? So you're going to make it technical. That's what it sounds like to me. Making it technical doesn't make sense to us. All right? From a player standpoint, you let these players and the families get as much money as that anybody in the United States of America wants to pay you. That's the rule.
My man Gerald McNeil, and the reason we call him the original Ice Cube when he was an All-American at Baylor, he was so hard to tackle. It was almost like trying to grab hold of an Ice Cube. Then he went on to play over 6 years in professional football, over 3,500 yards in return yards. Just a great guy. Every time you see him, he has a smile on his face. Gerald, I appreciate you calling. I hate that you called only because you were so upset, but we appreciate that nugget from you. Quick timeout. We'll get back to the calls. One more segment to go in the trenches, only on Sports Talk 790. Welcome in. Welcome back. One more segment to go. Just so you listeners know how things work. Every night when the kids are asleep and the wife is in bed, I spend hours upon hours show prepping and bringing up different topics. Okay, minutes. Actually, I just do it while Family Guy is on. And once Family Guy is over, I go to bed. And I print out different things. I was going to talk about Steve Sarkisian. And how he said, you know what? We don't care what time the game is. I was going to bring up that there's a new 30 for 30, and that's going to cover the 2000-2001 Baltimore Ravens. I thought that was going to be pretty interesting. I was going to bring up the fact that women's soccer, they're finally getting equal pay to the men. Good job, soccer. It only took you till 2022 to pay the women the same that you pay the men out there. And this is the governing body. We're not talking like MLS. Or whatever it may be, where
just
you
just the national teams,
exactly the national teams. So yeah, don't know why it took you till 2022, but you know what? It's better late than never. But you folks, and I also even want to give props to University of Texas. You know, this offseason they have Quinn Ewers. It looks like they're going to get Jordan Addison. I shouldn't keep saying that because again, he hasn't fully committed to UT. And then they also, I forget his name, UT had the wide receiver from Alabama transfer to UT. So UT has a lot to be excited about. But y'all wanted to talk about the beef between Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban.
Somebody I saw just tweeted this out. They said the intention in saying what he said, Nick Saban, was this. Hey, boosters, what you were paying before isn't enough now. We need more. Look at what A&M just did.
He could have done that without specifically calling out A&M and Jackson State.
Again, I see that as he was citing examples of those were situations where we think we know that those people were paid and those fan bases bragged about it. And they're like, look at what we're doing. We're crushing it. Take ass, suck it, Alabama. So, you know.
All right. 713-212-5790. Mac, what's going on, Mac? It's the return of the Mac.
Hey, Indy, how y'all doing today?
How are you?
I just want to say, Indy, that with Deion, you know, I don't know how much, it's worth, but it's whatever they pay for the school. But just since he's been with the HBCU situation, look how much publicity. Look how we hear about it every day. You know, and Deion, he only took one kid, and he's still being mentioned in with A&M, who got, 20 top recruits. You know, and I don't know. My grandfather had I don't know if he said it or he didn't make it up, but he told me it ain't no fun when a rabbit got the gun. Well, right now, the kids got the gun. They can transfer the money thing, you know, and it's just like McNeil said a minute ago. It's changed from when we were in school, man. It's the coach could put you on the bench, put you second string, and you just had to sit there. And if you transfer, you had to sit out. Okay, you got to go to Sam Houston, or you got to go to Stephen F. Austin, or you got to, you know. And it's just the establishment is not caught up with
today's times, and they just don't know how to handle it. You got two people who were probably friends, Jimbo Fisher and whatever. Now they're, I wouldn't want to be in the same restaurant with them. Or maybe I would want to be just to see the fight. I mean, look how it's turned friends who've been, you know, probably cheated together, no secrets on each other. Now go ask somebody, Fisher says, you know, it's like, okay, well, let's turn it over. You know, that's all I'm trying to say. And what do you think about that?
No, well said. And I'm with you. It's something that's so new to them. I don't even know if they have a problem with it or they're just having a problem adjusting to it. Keep in mind, Nick Saban played, he played college football, I believe, at Kent State somewhere in the 60s. It was at Kent State? Yeah,
it was.
Okay, in the 60s. Like, we're in 2022. Things are so different now. I think he has a problem adjusting. I played college football in the mid-90s, and it's weird for me to see guys being able to transfer and not sit out a year. I love it. But I also like seeing guys stick it out. You know what? I wanted to be a starter this year. Things didn't work out. I worked my tail off, and now I'm one of the leaders on the team. Like, I'm a little old school. I like that story. But just because I like something doesn't mean if something else happens, it's wrong or it should be regulated. Oh, yeah, I'm not used to seeing people transfer. We need to regulate it. I'm not used to seeing people get paid off their name, image, and likeness. We need to regulate it. No, these are changes for the better or for the worse. It might not be better for the fan, but it's better for the player.
Well, and this is where the NCAA is just so bad. And this is why a big reason why Mark Emmert is stepping down. Which, what'd he say? Like, in a year and a half, I'm stepping down? Which is so stupid. It's like, no, step down now. Save everybody the you know, the embarrassment of what you've been as the leader of the NCAA. But a good organization sets standards, adapts quickly, says, hey, look, we're gonna make these rules where everybody wins. We're gonna set these standards and make it where it benefits everybody. Instead, it's always been, amateurs. These are amateur athletes. They don't get paid. That's not what this is about. What about NIL? Well, okay, well, maybe kind of we could pay it. You know what I mean? Like, no, be a leader. Step forward and say, all right, let's all get in a room and figure out how to make this work for everybody. Instead, it's just been, it's reacting to what happens instead of being proactive.
So what would you have liked to see that's different that we're not seeing now? It's almost like, in your opinion, it was an overcorrection.
I think, I think what you need to do is hold NIL firm and standard to say you can't sign an NIL deal until you step on campus. Now, again, that's going to create, okay, well, I'll just agree to it, and then once I sign on signing day, then I get my NIL deal. I understand that'll work. But then also create a separate standard where you say, we're going to allow recruits to be paid. We're going to allow money to be paid for recruiting. You got to create a certain pool. And again, we're not going to set a standard. Pay as many kids as you want, as much money as you want.
Wait, from the schools?
Well, see, however you want to do it.
I don't think the school should pay players.
But here's the thing. Like, so every school, most schools have an athletic fund that their donors and alums pay for. And a lot of times that pool, like at LSU, it's called TAF, Tiger Athletic Foundation. That money is then split in a pool. It goes towards the training facility where they have a chef who's making food for all the kids. The softball team needs new whatever. It's mm-hmm. going to them. It's going to all the sports. Mm-hmm. Instead, what we're doing here is we're creating a fund through the collectives that is going strictly to paying football players, and more specifically,
you can't call them collectives.
That's what they're called.
No, like, not the ones I've met. They literally I own this car dealership and I want this guy.
Well, those
guy
are
on
separate.
My...
Those are business owners who are doing real NIL deals. I'm talking, the bigger problem here is schools like A&M and these other schools have set up collectives where those people who used to write that check for the athletic fund are now going towards this, where that money is just going towards football players, specifically football recruits. Now, again, don't have a problem with paying them, but that's, you have to acknowledge, at least, if we're taking money from over here, guess who's going to get hurt? The softball team's not going to get the stuff that they need. The chef that we're paying to prepare meals for all the kids, we're not going to be able to pay it. Like, the money's going to drop there because we're putting it all over here. There are going to be domino pieces that fall, and problems that fall from that.
Like I say, Bones, 20, boat. Let's see those dominoes fall. Let's not just predict that it's going to fall and take money out of their mouth now. I need to see it.
I'm not taking money out of the mouth, but convinced. The NCAA, again, did not get proactive in this. So.
I'm not convinced. A man who doesn't mind seeing youngsters paid is strutting into the... Or does he? Oh, no. You'll have to wait and find out, as he says. I don't know. He doesn't call that off.
I haven't heard from him in months.
Reggie didn't either.
Reggie, man.
Are you going to talk about Paul McCartney? You know what? Paul McCartney wouldn't mind these people getting paid. What's this? Paul McCartney.
Oh.
The Players.
These people. They're kids. They're 17-year-old kids. Uh-huh. You heard him?
Wow. I'm trying to think of a Paul McCartney song just to relate it to
me.
Let it. You know what, Paul? You know what Paul McCartney would say, Chris, about the NIL? Let it be. Let it be. And the girl is mine.
That's he also said Roll Tide.
All right, that's going to do it for us today. God willing, same time, same place tomorrow in the trenches, only on Sports Talk 790.